We are in the letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 is where we're at today. I don't know. I think I'm going into this one, so I'm going to move this one to the side. Okay. Last week, the first 10 verses asked the question, is the gospel enough? And this week, I'm asking you the question, who are you following? Now, if we get all biblical about who are you following, you just, easy answer, pastor, following Jesus, can I go home now, right? Like, but reality, I want you to think more than just putting this into a spiritual context, because I think spiritual needs to affect our real everyday lives. Now, most of you are living in the same world that I live in, where you wake up and you have something like this around. Some of you don't. That's all right. That's good. That's probably better, actually. But some of you, most of you, have one of these nowadays. And some part of your day, probably earlier in your day, you open it up and you look through. And guess what? You're following people. Even the word following is there. You can open your Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever's next on the list. I don't know. But and it'll say following, and you'll click on those people that you want to follow. You say, no, pastor, I'm just on Facebook. I just friend people. No. Nowadays, it even has it there, too. You're following. You can unfollow your friends. Did you know you could do that? You can. So if you get annoyed with what they're writing you all the time, you can stay their friends, but you can unfollow them. Very helpful. I'm not going to go there. And I only say this because I believe we're all following people. Now, Jesus has called us to follow him. Matthew 4:19 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people. Jesus wants us to follow him so that we, in turn, are not the ones who are following people, but that people will want to follow us because we're following Jesus. So I'm wondering, when you are living your life and you're going on the internet, or you're going to work, or you're coming home and you're relaxing and you're turning on the TV, and who's grabbing your attention? Because following might not be like Jesus said, come follow me, and it says they put their nets aside and they actually literally followed him. Today you can follow people by sitting in a chair and follow people, but you're still giving your attention to them. You're giving your thoughts towards them. Sometimes you just want to do that. You know, if you subscribe to Netflix, you just want to put on a show and let your mind just turn off sometimes. And I want to warn you, church, that you are following someone. And even though you say, oh, I want Christ first, I want to be Christ to be the first one I follow, you might not be all the time if they're not always lined up. I have to check myself as pastor sometimes. What am I putting in? What am I taking in? Is this always good for me? When I say I'm following Jesus, yet I'm paying attention to this or to that, is it really that I'm following Jesus, or am I being swayed to follow something other than Jesus? You know, you think about how people can communicate in the modern world, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, those types of media, social media outlets. When they first came out with these things, you could only write like 147 characters, right? You know what? When you follow Jesus, this is an amazing verse I thought about when I thought about how in today's world, you just get a snippet of someone's life in a post or something on the internet. But Jesus, John 21:25 says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Think about that for a second. Think about who you're following when you choose to follow Christ. It's not just a quote of the day. It's not just a blurb about what they ate for lunch. This is the risen Savior, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who raises the dead, heals the sick. This is God Almighty who we choose to follow. And if we chose to try to put it in a snippet, in a section, the Bible says you couldn't even have enough books to be able to contain all the things that he has done. And I believe that continues today in the work that he does in our lives as well. Think about when it comes to who you follow, I want you to think this way. I got a question. If I asked you to tell me your top five most influential sermons, could you list them for me? Some of you might be like, yeah, since you've been here, Pastor, I've got the top five, right? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so it might be tough for some of you. And you know what? I don't blame you. I don't blame you that you have a hard time remembering the words that people say. But if I asked you who are the top five most influential people, not sermons, not words, but people in your life, you'd be like, well, hold on a second. And you start going off and you probably fill up five pretty quickly, and you might want to name more people who've had an influence on your life. See, it's not just the words that people post in front of you that you need to pay attention to follow or to unfollow. It's the people and what they represent. How quick are we to judge when someone posts something online and the things that come out of their mouth and judge those words so quickly rather than judging their character over a long period of time? I hope people don't judge me that way because I mess up. I'll be preaching a sermon and I might say something out of context. I might say something that's offends my wife. And if you judge me just through that, then we don't get a second chance. But if we allow who we follow to be dictated more than just a snippet here or a snippet there, a post here, a post there, but by the character and the love that they exude towards each other, you have to read through just their words to the motivation of their words as well. God is the one who judges the heart. I believe we've been dealing with this issue the past few weeks. I just want you to think about that when it comes to who are you following. Steve Jobs said, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition." Who here has a smartphone or an Apple product at home? This is the guy, Steve Jobs is the guy who got the Apple company to where it is. Now he's passed away now. And I don't know if Steve Jobs knew the Lord or not, but I think there's some insight here to how we should live our lives as Christians. I think too often we're living our lives through the opinions of others. We are worried about what other people see. The nice thing about the internet is you can take a selfie, right? And you can always get your good side, right? If you take enough pictures and then pick the best one. The reality is, I believe that God doesn't want you to worry so much about the opinions of others and following other people. He wants us as believers to be the ones who come and follow us as we follow Christ. So even though your pastor is someone who uses social network, I use it as a platform, social media, I use it as a platform to display my faith so that others might ask the question, why does he have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And if I can't display the fruit of the Spirit on the internet or how I live my life on a regular basis in the public settings, then guess what? I'm not going to post it. I'm not going to say it. So if you expect your pastor to react to the news, the Prime Minister of Canada or the President of the United States and post something controversial online, I will often hesitate to do that. I won't do it because I would rather people see light than darkness. I want people to follow the truth, not my perception of the truth. I hope this is getting you thinking a little bit. I'm thinking. Let's read Galatians chapter 1 to glean Paul's wisdom. Let's start at verse 10. I know I read verse 10 last week, but I think it starts off his thoughts for verse 11 and following. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Christ, from Jesus Christ. Paul is explaining here that this isn't something that we get by following other people. You might say, well, Pastor, you see, I know someone who introduced me to Christ. Listen, I'm really happy with what God's done in my brother Sam's life. The fact that he goes up to North Bay and starts a prayer group. Pretty cool. Don't you think that's... I think that's pretty cool. He goes up to a college, says, hey, let's pray, and gets a little bit of persecution. I said, hey, Sam, you're being persecuted more than I've ever been persecuted. The prayer groups I start up, I hope people come and show up, and the first groups you start, people are getting persecuted and telling you to shut them down. I think that's pretty cool. But you know what? I don't want Sam. See, if it was all about me discipling Sam as our summer student, there would not be much hope for Sam. If it was just about me and what he could get from me, because the truth is, he goes up to North Bay and he's by himself. And he's trying to figure out how to live the Christian life on his own. If it was all about me, I'd have to get up there and show him exactly what to do. But you know what? We have this God who is everywhere. We have this God who the power of the Holy Spirit can teach anyone. And you know what? I see this in the church too often. We get too attached to people. And Paul deals with this in the letter to the Corinthians. He says, some people say I follow Apollos. Some people say I follow Cephas. And some people even say they follow Paul. And Paul says, follow Jesus. And I think it happens in churches with pastors too. They say, oh, you know, I really like that pastor. And then he gets up and he goes somewhere. Or he has moral failing. Or something bad happens to him and he's no longer your pastor and you give up on your faith. That should not be, church. Paul is saying here to the church of Galatians, this is from not a man. This is not from a man. This is a message from God. And so for Sam or for anybody here who is walking out their Christian life saying, I need to be discipled, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings people alongside of you. And people will come into your life and people will go, but God will always be there. And if you put your trust in people, they will disappoint you. If you put your expectations, what a Christian life should look like in people, they will let you down. That is why we need forgiveness. That's why Jesus had to come in the first place. If we could do it without him, he wouldn't have to come to die for us. So let's stop putting our faith in other people. Don't put your faith in your pastor. Don't put your faith in your brothers and sisters here in this church. Do we help each other? Yes. We allow God to work through us, that we can carry each other's burdens, that we can support and love each other. But even as Cynthia said, this past year, I'm so glad that God helped me through this church. Guess who is the one who helped her? It was not you. It was God through you. Praise God. You know, we can give ourselves a tap on the shoulder, but you know what? I want to earn the well done, good and faithful servant. I want my reward to be in heaven, not here on earth. Jesus said, if you receive praise in front of people here on earth, you've received your reward in full. You know, I think there's always a nice, polite respect when we clap for people. But honestly, don't we really want to earn it all up there? Don't we really want to please the Father? I want his applause, you know? And I believe he does. I believe, just like Rebecca was sharing about the prodigal son, we have this God who's chasing after us, who's... we sing a song, Amazed, and I believe it's from the Psalms. It says he's dancing over us. He sings over us. He loves us so much. He wants us to know it's not about how we treat, even though we need to treat each other well. It's not about how other people treat you and following other people. It's about your relationship with him. You know, when your life and your faith gets tough, I've heard so many people who've left the church because of other Christians. And I believe the reality is, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, because he's the author and perfecter of our faith, then we can continue to follow him despite how other people perform around us. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor, don't we need the church? Yes, I believe in the church. I would not be a pastor if I didn't believe that we need the church. But who is the one who builds the church? Jesus is. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's Christ who builds the church and sustains it. Listen, if Pastor Thomas's job to build this church, you're going to be disappointed. Now, if God builds this church, we're going to see great and mighty things. I think this is what Paul is getting to. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Why do I read that? I want you to know you have a God who you can follow because he was willing to die for you. I think sometimes in life, we determine who we're going to follow or who we're going to friend, who we're going to put our who we're going to trust and put our respect in by how they perform for us. And I believe God knew that about our human nature, and so he says, if they really are going to follow me, I have to get down there and model it to them what it means to follow, and so I need to be a servant myself. So if you really want people to follow you, it's not about being up on the pulpit and being able to proclaim or preach a good message. It's about demonstrating it by being a servant. It's about showing it with your life, letting your actions speak louder than your words. You know, the Pharisees actually often had the right teachings and the right words, but they didn't live it out because they didn't have the right spirit. Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 1, for you have heard of my previous way in life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. If you read Acts chapter 9, you will see there Paul's conversion. His name was Saul when he was a Jew, and he became Paul as a Christian. And I think he's sharing this to say, hey, when you follow Jesus, something happens in your life. You're not the same person you were before. You are transformed. I am transformed. If you follow man, maybe you change a little bit. I believe that you can follow people in this world and not follow God and still have transformation in your life. I see it happen all the time when people hang out with different people, whether they have a good influence or a bad influence over people. You probably see it a lot with teenagers. You know, they have good friends or bad friends, and they want to be like the people they hang around, and so they're changed like them. But the message of the gospel here is that when we hang out with Jesus, when we hang out with God, we become more like him, and he comes, lives in us, and changes our lives. He makes us worth following. See, we're not worth following if we don't have him in us. So what Paul is saying here is this happened to me. I was once a Jew killing Christians. You want to know that it's true? I changed completely. Now I'm a Christian. Verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Paul's saying here, I didn't even go to the leaders of the Christians. So Paul has his conversion. You think if you want to be legitimate in your faith, you go to the best teachers, don't you? Like, Pastor Liz, go to the best Bible college, right? Make sure you get your interview done well. Make sure that works out. Listen, and maybe I'm just preaching to you right now, but anybody, it might be Pastor Liz who's got an interview next week and it might go bad, but even if it doesn't, guess what? Guess what? This is, I'm not trying to prophesy anything bad on you. My point is this, Liz, and everybody here, and I know you know this, Liz, it's about what Jesus says rather than the leaders of the Free Methodist Church in Canada. And I believe that for anybody, for everything. You know, there's people who come up to me and say, Pastor, I think I should go to Bible college. You know what? You know, not everybody needs to go to Bible college to serve Jesus. Sometimes you can learn to serve where you're at. That's not to say Bible college is a bad thing either. Some people need to go to Bible college to get more training and instruction. But in the world, they say, hey, we want to see your credentials first. In the kingdom of heaven, God doesn't care about your credentials. He wants your heart. And so Paul gets saved. He doesn't even go to the leaders of the church. One, they were afraid of him. But two, his main point here is that he didn't need to. Because he had Christ. He had this revelation with Christ. He knew what God had done in his life when he was on his road to Damascus. And God blinded him and then gave his sight back. He knew that that experience and hearing the words of Jesus himself in his ears was enough. That he didn't need other people's approval. Now, some people take that so far that they're just rebellious against anything that comes from the church or from people. And I say, you've got to be careful there too, because I don't think Paul was rebelling against the church leaders. He wasn't rebelling against the apostles. He just knew that he had something real happen in his life and that he didn't need a man's approval to know that that was real. Verse 18, after three years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. So that's kind of like his interview, Liz, right there, with Peter. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. See, God desires that there's still unity in the church. He still desires that we, when we say we're following Christ, it looks the same and that there's some unity within the body, not some person who's crazy. And we're like, really, that's what a Christian looks like? And he's saying, well, yeah, God told me to do this. And you're like, I don't know about that. No, God still wants unity, but he wants those of us who know God has spoken to us not need to seek the approval of men. Verse 21. Later, I went to Syria and Sicilia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of him. Isn't that what we want? Not that we receive the praise. Not that people are like, wow, look at that guy. Look at the change in his life. Look how awesome he's doing. No, we don't want that. What we want is that when people see Christ in us, they give God the glory. Man, that's my desire. I wanted this so bad when I was first a preacher that people would come up to me after church and say, good job, pastor. Good preaching. And I would say, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. And I'd say that almost every time. And eventually my wife came up beside me and said, you know, people don't like when you say that all the time. They know it's God in you. They just want to acknowledge that God's doing it through you and just say thank you. So now I just say thank you. But my heart is that, yeah, you can be thankful when God delivers the word well through myself as a pastor or any other person who might be delivering the word of the Lord. You can be thankful for that person and that God's using that person. But don't miss the fact that that person is not trying to point to themselves. They're trying to point to the Lord. The last thing I think myself or any preacher who loves the Lord wants is what Jesus said about Matthew in Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over the land and sea to win a single convert, and then when you succeed, when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much to the child of hell as you are. Okay, this verse might not be scary to you. This is scary to me. It might be scary to you. But as you lead people, as you gain followers, and they say, hey, you look pretty cool. I want to follow you. If you turn them into something that does not represent Christ, Jesus says you're making them twice the child of hell that you are. So this is why I will continue to preach this. And I will not stop saying, this is not about us. This is all about him. The last thing we want to do, and you know what? The church is really bad at this. We've gotten really bad at making cookie cutter Christians. That we want you to look this way, say these things, take a course so you can learn how to speak like me. And we have our own Christian religious talk, and we call it Christianese. And if you're not like that, then you don't feel welcome and people leave. What a shame. Instead, we should, our only job here as the church is to point heavenward. To point to the Lord and say, hey, he's the one who's going to change you. It's not my job to change you. You can come and meet. I put out a video this week where Sam was in the video, and Sam sat down beside me. I don't know if you saw it online, but you can check it out online. Sam sits down beside me, and it was kind of like we did this funny thing where we said, hey, welcome, Sam, to my office.
Hi.
You can come for pastoral counseling, which is great. I want people to come to my office if they have a need that I can pray for them and teach them about God's word. I don't want that to happen. I don't want people to come and because of me. I want people to come because they know they can come, and when we gather together, Jesus is going to meet with us. I hope you hear my heart. I know I'm rambling now. We'll going to tie this up. Oh, thank you, Rebecca. There's a time in a person's life when their faith is no longer the one they had been taught by others, but it becomes their own. This happens in the life of children. My children, I believe, are legitimate believers. This morning, Julia said, why are we going to church? Why do we go to church? It's because we all believe in God, right? Yes, Julia. She gets it, right? She's got it in her head. The truth is, she gets in the car wherever we're going. She's 4 years old. She's not going to get to church on her own. But there will be a day where that little girl is now a young woman and can get in the car and choose to go to church on her own. And she might choose to do that. She might choose not to. And you know what? I'd rather her make the choice to freely choose God than do it to please her parents. It's hard for me to say because I want my daughter in church. I want her to know Jesus. But I'm not going to force her to do anything because it's so important that she doesn't follow her parents' faith, that she has a relationship with Christ on her own. That goes for anyone. You can be a little girl who's growing up in the church. You can be someone who came to church later on in life, and you, maybe you're an adult, and you said, yeah, I did freely choose, but be careful that you don't just follow the teachings of the people around you. Follow the teachings of Christ. Search diligently the scriptures. There's a church, I think it's, Joe just nodded at me if it's the right church, the Berean church, right? Berean church, it says they search the scriptures diligently so that they can see Christ in the scriptures. And I think that when we know God's word well, we can discern whether or not someone is a self-promoter or a God-promoter. So again, I'm just going to close up with some questions. Are you following Christ or man? Is your faith the one of your parents or your teachers, or is it your own? Do you worry about the traditions of man, or do you care more about knowing God? Do you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, or are you worried about those around you? When you look for leaders to lead you, are they following Jesus the way you follow Jesus? I forgot, I'm sure you saw it up there, but one of the quotes I was going to quote, and I guess I didn't mention it, was 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So when you look for the leaders, are they following Jesus the way you want to follow Jesus? Man, you're here today and I'm preaching to you, so that just puts more onus on me to make sure I'm following Jesus, to say, okay, you're coming to hear this guy talk. Okay, you know what? You have every right to say, well, yeah, if he's not following Jesus, I'm not going to come to that church anymore. Pressure. But the truth is, James in the New Testament actually tells us that. You're going to be judged more severely when you teach and preach. But it just makes me emphasize, listen, if I want to do it right, it's got to be all about him through me, not me, myself. So it's Thanksgiving. Let's give a lighter note here. It's Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful that Jesus is the perfect example to follow. You don't have to worry looking around for the best leader, the best guru, the best prophet or teacher. You don't have to worry about that. Be thankful that you know the best teacher that there ever was. That as John says in John 21, that if we took all of the book, all of the words that Jesus said and tried to put them in a book, we wouldn't be able to contain the amount of books that we'd have to write. Be thankful for those people in your life whom you have followed, who led you an example of Christ. That as you followed that person, you knew you weren't just following a human being, you were following Jesus, and that person modeled Jesus to you. Be thankful for those people in your life. A previous pastor in your life, maybe your parents who were godly examples, maybe a brother or sister in Christ who really just loved you into the kingdom of God. Be thankful for those people. Be thankful that even if you didn't have anyone, that you might feel alone, there's no one there for you, you can still call on the Holy Spirit. Be thankful that you have family around you right now to encourage you to follow Christ. I realize that as a pastor, I set the language and the trend and the culture for a church. And I think if we can be a church that doesn't say, hey, come follow us, but we say, hey, church, let's follow Jesus and we'll do it together, I think we'll have a pretty cool church. I already think this is a pretty cool church, but I think as we continue to grow more and more like him, we'll be even better. But we need to make sure we're following him. A lot of words to just say, keep following Jesus, church. Keep following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your son, who is the exact representation of who you are, God. He is the exact representation in the flesh of your nature, your character, your love, which is why we choose to follow you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for when we've been persuaded by men and we've cared more of the opinion of others. Forgive us, Lord, when we've changed the way we talk, changed the way we behave to try to be our own influence rather than influence people to you. Forgive us for our addictions to things like social media. Forgive us when we've tried to fill voids in our life with anything other than you. But Lord, as it is Thanksgiving, we are so thankful that we can be in a place like this where we can turn our heart and turn our eyes towards you. In your word and by your spirit, you lead and you guide us. And you've said to us, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Help us, Lord, that as people come to us because they see you in us, not to become conceited. Help us to be humble. Help us to continue to remember that this is your church, not our own. Help us to not value tradition over following you. Lord, I love you, and I speak on behalf of this church. Lord, we love you. You are so worth following. Lead us even more, Lord. Take us by the hand. We are like sheep, easily led astray, easily caught in a fence. And so, Lord, we pray that you would take us by the hand and lead and guide us to safety. That your spirit would so speak to us that we would know your voice, that we would hear your voice and we would follow you. Lord, we ask that you would be clear to us as a church. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for being the one whom we follow. We thank you that following you gives us permission to enter your kingdom. We want to follow you straight there, Lord. We want to follow you to the gates made out of pearl. We want to follow you to the streets paved with gold. We want to follow you into a place that is absent of sin and death, full of love and full of joy, full of peace. And we thank you, Lord, that we can experience your kingdom now in our spirit, in our lives. Holy Spirit, penetrate our hearts. Lord, I don't know what's going on in people's hearts right now. I believe you're moving. Penetrate the hardest of hearts, Lord. Quicken your spirit, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, move. If there's anyone here who has never made the decision to follow Jesus sincerely, if your faith was that of your parents or your faith was one that was absent of Jesus following him, just pray with me now. God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross for my sins. I ask that you would forgive me of those sins. I choose to follow you. I choose to believe that you have defeated death, that you rose from the grave. Would you lead me? Would you be my Lord, my Savior? I trust you more than I trust any man or woman in this earth. I follow you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.